Are you a marketing or advertising professional looking to stay ahead of the game? Well, we've got the perfect opportunity for you. Advertising Week New York is back for its 19th edition, and it's bigger and better than ever. Picture this: 4 jam-packed days of inspiring keynotes, thought-provoking panels, and networking with the industry's brightest minds. Taking place October 16th through 19th at the Penn District, Advertising Week New York is where the world's top brands, agencies, and leaders come together to shape the future of marketing and advertising. Don't miss this chance to gain insights from the industry's trailblazers, connect with potential clients, and elevate your career. Head over to advertisingweek.com/New York today and buy your pass. Advertising Week New York, the ultimate gathering for marketing and advertising professionals. Be part of the conversation, be part of the innovation, and be part of the future. Industry changes are unfolding that impact advertisers' ability to reach engaged, relevant audiences. Amidst these changes, some brands are turning to streaming media to help reach consumers and assist them to discover products they might love by using retail media and insight-driven technology. In this panel, taken from Advertising Week APAC 2023, we'll hear from leading brands and media partners on how they've successfully connected content to commerce to drive business growth. We hope you enjoy this episode.
All right. My name is Tamir Barheim. I'm the Managing Director and Head of International Expansion for Amazon Ads. I want to just take a moment first to acknowledge that we are on the traditional lands of the Kamaraigao people of the Eora Nation, and I want to pay my respects to the elders past, present, and emerging. And it's a pleasure to be here. Ad Week, day one. Really quickly, just a little bit about me. I lead our ads business across 30 countries for Amazon. It includes Australia and New Zealand, but also Korea, Taiwan, Singapore, and some other great countries in this region. If you couldn't tell already, I'm Canadian. Came here from Toronto, and I want to address the tension in the room just so we can get off to a good start. Congratulations on a great match last night. You kicked our butt. And let's never speak of this again. Okay. With that, I am pleased to be joined by a pretty great panel of folks here. So Danielle Ferguson from Coca-Cola, and Stevie, thank you for joining us. Stevie Douglas-Neal from Essence Media, and Jan Boyko from Twitch. So just to introduce yourselves to the room, why don't you guys tell us a little bit about what you do, and then we'll have a little bit of fun. Tell us about the last time you saw an ad that you just felt, damn, I have to have that, and more importantly, you actually followed up and did it. So, Stevie, why don't we start with you, or Danny, why don't we start with you, rather?
Thanks, Tamir. Pleasure to be here today. I'm Danielle Ferguson, and I'm representing Coca-Cola ASEAN and South Pacific today. My role is the e-com lead for Australia, New Zealand, and the Pacific Islands. I work very closely with our bottling partner, Coca-Cola Euro-Pacific Partners. And essentially, my role is to drive our eB2C strategy across the region. In terms of an ad that I've recently been served content that's led me to commerce, I would be lying if I said I haven't been massively influenced by the phenomenon that is Barbie. It's everywhere. We're tripping over it in a very good way. And I'm definitely one of those people who's been heavily influenced from above the line right down to below the line. I was recently served an ad on TikTok which was a play on Barbie. It was called The Barky Box, which might sound a bit random, but I'll get into that. Two things that are important here. I am a millennial, and I'm a very passionate pet owner. So when I was served up this ad on TikTok, it really resonated with me. So at Coca-Cola, we think about three things that are important in an ad unit. That is the three C's. One, that it's clickable, that it's connected, and that it's convenient. So for me, this ad was very much all of those. Oh, that sounds interesting. Goodness. So for me, this was...
You didn't
was,
like the Barky Box.
Oh, it was all three of those things. So it was very clickable because obviously being a millennial with the sort of Barbie, there was a lot of nostalgia associated to it. Is everything okay? Should I continue?
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, and then as a pet owner, it was obviously very relevant to me. As most people who are pet owners, they would buy their animals the Taj Mahal if they could, and I'm definitely one of those people. So as soon as I seen it, I knew Bo absolutely had to have this Barky box. But then what actually made me transact is the fact that this was a mystery box. So there was items within it that were essentially Barbie and Ken sort of treats and dog toys. And because it was mystery, it had that allure for me. And it was also a limited time edition. So for me, there was the time pressure that I absolutely need to transact right now. So in terms of the two... Oh. Do we have a doctor in the audience?
Anyone with first aid training?
This is going great. Good work.
Okay, thanks to the folks who jumped out. Appreciate it.
Okay, how do you keep going from that? Funny that. Yeah, no, all good. But yeah, essentially the ad, wrap it all up, three C's, clickable, convenient, and connected. So when I went through to actually buy the Barky box, it was hyper connected. I was able to add the product straight to my digital basket and transact through Apple Pay, and therefore it was very convenient. So all in all, that is my experience of an ad that led me to commerce.
All right. Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it. Stevie?
And we had the opportunity to work with the studio on Barbie. And I think I'm the managing director of Essence MediaCom in Sydney. And for me, that campaign from end to end, from the dresses she wore to the premiere through to the in-cinema experience, was just bang on, hit every kind of brand cue that you could have hoped for. But for me, I love a bandwagon. I'm going to, so I'm all about FIFA at the moment. Obviously, a wonderful Coca-Cola partnership. But I have bought more merch than I am prepared to review on my credit card. So I had the opportunity to go to the opening game, and since then, and my little boy has learned the merch. He's like, Mom, there's some FIFA merch. We need it. I'm like, all right, babe, let's do this. So, yeah, for me, the energy and the excitement that comes with big events, I think, is a really big opportunity.
Nice. My name is Jan Boyko. I'm Insights and Measurement Director at Twitch. And I love Danny's example so much. I think we just jump straight into the content. Can't beat it. Sorry.
Let's do it.
All right. Well done. I like it. So let me set the stage just for a minute here. It's probably not a surprise to folks in the room here that, you know, Australia has traditionally lagged a bit behind from an e-commerce perspective when, you know, you look at your peers around the world. That said, if you look at the last couple of years, you've made up a lot of ground. So pat yourself on the back for the FIFA merch. Now, you know, you can see on the screen the specific data points and trends around how e-commerce has grown here. I won't belabor that, but one interesting fact is, you know, Australia Post reports that last year more than 80% of Australians actually purchased products online. And so that's what's happening up until now. If we look at what's projected into the future, interestingly, total retail sales in this country, so brick and mortar plus e-commerce, well, it's relatively flat. There's a little bit of growth, but not expecting to see much in the next couple of years. So what does that mean if you're a brand here in the room? Really, what it means is that if you're going to find growth, it's going to need to be from winning share in a sandbox that itself is not actually growing all that much. And one really good way to do that is to lean into channels that are seeing a lot of growth and try to get a tailwind from that. And e-commerce and online is that channel. So the compounded annual growth rate of e-commerce over the next few years here will be almost 11%. By 2027, more than $80 billion will be transacted online here in Australia. And none of that includes consumers who are actually using online shopping to inform their purchase decisions in brick and mortar stores, reading, you know, ratings and reviews and things of that nature. And Amazon has certainly been no stranger to these trends, and we've played a leading role. Last year, our sales grew by 46% year over year here in Australia. That was led actually by our small and mid-sized businesses who grew 75% year over year, our third-party sellers. And just a few weeks ago, we had our biggest shopping day ever, Prime Day, where we sold more than 375 million products globally. So what does that all mean? What we're going to talk about today is really what this means for marketers. And we're going to talk about both content, how you get the attention and retain the attention of the consumer, but then more importantly, how do you connect that back to real tangible business outcomes? And so Jan, why don't we start with you? You know, we're going to hear probably a lot in the next couple of days about, you know, the attention economy, media fragmentation. It can be hard to get the attention of consumers and cut through the noise today as they're distracted across so many different devices and channels. But somehow Twitch has managed to do that. So, you know, 1.2 trillion minutes live streamed last year, and more than 70% of Twitch users are millennials, Gen Z consumers. So what's the secret? What's going on there?
Yeah, I wish I could. I cracked it myself because I'd be a very rich man. I think you're right. Younger audiences, fragmentation is nothing new, particularly amongst younger demographics. First to adopt tech, first to adopt new media and new content. At the same time, they're being described as having, you know, short attention spans and the like, which I think might be a mischaracterization. Sure, they're maybe more likely to jump between content experiences, but I think that's because they're just not going to put up with bad content, right? There's so many options out there available. There are still pockets, I think, that exist where attention can be kept. I mean, you look at Barbieheimer over the last couple of weeks, someone sitting within a cinema for over 5 hours at a time is just absolutely bonkers. You see a similar experience on Twitch. I think Twitch is as a content offering, it's a live streaming service. A lot of content creators will use that as a home to bring their communities together and spend a couple of hours with their fans and their friends. A viewer who loves a content creator will make time out of their schedule to watch that creator live in that moment. If they're streaming from 8 till 10 p.m. on a Thursday night, they'll make time out of their schedule, almost going back to the 90s television consumption appointment viewing. They will do that if they actually love that content that exists there. So to highlight some of that great engagement that we see on Twitch, we worked with Amplified Intelligence, leading attention vendor based out of Adelaide, and we actually evaluated Twitch's content offering and ad experience within various demographics. And what we found, I think three key things that came out of the research, we'll release a report later this month, but it was actually those younger demographics, those 18 to 24-year-olds, that had the highest level of active attention. Their levels of attention were 1 to 3 seconds higher than those older demographics, which kind of goes against, I think, traditional thinking when it comes to younger audiences' engagement with different kinds of ad experiences. I think the second one was that the longer the ad length played on Twitch, the more active seconds you got. Whereas I think typical of most digital environments, as time progresses when the ad plays, that attention gets that 5 second mark and drops off a cliff. You do see that slight degradation over time, but you still get more additive seconds. And I think there's a strong implication for that, which I'll talk about in a sec. But the third one is that you mentioned the Gen Z and millennial composition of Twitch's audience. We're finding that these demographics can actually get a lot of attention as a brand, as an agency, within these digital experiences for these new generation of consumers. There's a lot of great places if you can meet consumers where they love their content and give them that experience that actually fits with that content experience rather than taking away from it. I think there are some great opportunities to keep that storytelling that brands like Coke have been doing for over a century now without detriment to the consumer experience.
That's great. Stevie, why don't we build on that for a second? From your experience, from an agency perspective, you know, how are you responding to these sort of changing preferences and demographics, and you know, how are you reaching customers where they already are today?
Yeah, so I mean, Essence MediaCom is a brand new proposition. We've been around since February, and our entire kind of reason for being is to deliver breakthrough thinking for our clients. And we characterize, you know, all of the consumer trends you're talking about and the consumption, the changes in consumption, as a new communications economy. The way that we can interact with brands and purchase products has fundamentally changed. And we've built a proposition really that's about new growth audiences, about finding audiences. If you're a brand and you are attracting the same audiences that you've always had in a market that is not growing, and you expect, you know, how many times have we all received a brief that says, I want 12% growth year on year, I've got the same budget, and I've got the same audience, am I going to do something different? Like, ultimately, we need to find a new way in to find those growth audiences. And, you know, we have a gaming client, a hardware manufacturer who has a lot of kind of tech for gaming, And we recently worked with them to kind of find a growth audience around young women in the gaming space, right? They had traditionally marketed to young male gamers, you know, think the Doritos kind of audience. But we really broadened that out, and we ran a whole campaign around female gamers, and we built a whole platform around female gamers. The results of that, of finding that new growth audience, were really significant and you know, provided a whole new platform for them that didn't really exist before. But also, you know, new routes to market. We have to find new ways to leverage the growth that you're talking about, to find new routes to market, because the old physical availability in Coles or Woolies or wherever your retail is will get you a certain demographic on a certain day, but we also have to think about how we're future-proofing for the way that younger consumers shop, the way that retail is fundamentally changing. And, you know, that's really exciting because it helps us to move from growing brands to growing businesses. If you can have a full funnel conversation, then we can help our clients fundamentally, you know, grow their entire end-to-end funnel. And that's a really exciting proposition that we're pumped about.
Awesome. Danny, I want to come to you. So Coca-Cola works with Amazon all over the world in a very tailored way to specific marketplaces. So, you know, in France, we're focused together on League One consumers, League One fans. In Mexico, it's Amazon Music listeners. In the US, Formula One. Here, your focus has been gaming. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how you got there and, you know, how that's working out for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the best way to do that is actually to showcase our FIFA 23 campaign. So you'll see it behind me. This essentially was a trifecta brand partnership between EA Sports, Amazon, and Coca-Cola. We essentially worked with EA to really drive our content and audience strategy. So where I guess EA came in as a very lucrative partner for us was that they really presented us with a very unique way that Coca-Cola as a brand could speak to an already engaged gaming audience. So obviously as a 137-year-old brand, we need to continue the legacy of refreshing the world for the next 137 years. And in order to do that, we need to recruit the next generation of drinker into the category and into the brand. And so with EA, this gave us a real opportunity to tap into that Gen Z audience, but also the gaming audience. So historically, as many of you would know, Coca-Cola has always attached themselves to passion points that exist from a consumer perspective, whether that's music and now gaming. So for us, again, this was a real way for us to really authentically speak to that consumer through EA and leveraging their existing audience, and likewise for them to also use our audience. So some of the data that actually played a big part in terms of this audience strategy. So the Brand Innovation Lab at Amazon, we worked very closely with them, and they were able to give us a lot of insights and intel around what is the affinity of a gaming audience on Amazon and what is their likelihood to purchase through the soft drink category. So all of the insight really built the foundation of our audience strategy on the premise that we know there is about a 4 to 5 times affinity for a gaming audience to transact through the soft drink category. In terms of content, again, we worked very much with the Brand Innovation Lab at Amazon to create the content you'll see behind me. So this was all bespoke and tailored to the FIFA 23 campaign. You'll see that we have heroed the FIFA 23 game along with the mini pack of Coca-Cola. That was essentially our virtual bundle that we sold across Amazon retail. We leveraged some of our distinctive brand assets. We ensured that it resonated with the gaming audience that we were targeting through EA. And we also seeded the occasion, which was very much the home stadium for shoppers on Amazon. So that's essentially a little bit about our content and audience strategy.
Great. So we've talked a lot about content. Let's talk for a second about how we connect the dots down to commerce. You know, one of the challenges as we're leaning into many of these brand building vehicles is that, you know, often they're not connected back to a point of sale. And that could be challenging, especially in times like this today where, you know, every impression has to go that much further. How do you prove the impact, the value? Jan, not to put you on the spot, but when you think about Twitch, and you think about that importance of connecting the content back to sales.
Yeah.
How are you guys approaching that?
Yeah, it's a challenge for the Twitch brand, which has historically been seen as a branding play, right? Long form video, unskippable, longer length creative or ad spots. We've had some great challenges, I think, from our agency partners and brands alike to start to evolve some of that product and what we can actually do within that space. I think we've got an example that might play in a moment of one of the syndicated formats we took from the US and we tried to localize in Australia back in 2021. So think of it in a very crude summary as live shopping meets variety television, sprinkle a little bit of Hey Hey It's Saturday in there as well, but have that unique, I guess, Twitch flavor and humor that might be a part of that. That allows, I guess, brands to have that conversation about, you know, the product details or a new product launch that might come out. What we did as a digital service is we leveraged the tech that's available to us to build a little overlay that went down the lower third of the screen. Whereas, for example, Samsung was releasing one of their mobile phones for one of their segments. And when that segment popped up, a kind of carousel came through where the consumer, while they're watching the content, can actually scroll through all of those model variants, whether it's color, whether it's hardware specifications, and they can click straight through to the amazon.com.au checkout. So within a couple of clicks, make that transaction, you have a discount code that's timed until the episode, you're incentivized to come back to the content you were there to begin with. So a really good example, I think, of not taking away from the content experience, but just adding onto it and layering on new features. What's really great is that Samsung have taken a lot of the learnings they had from that initial foray into live stream. For their recent flip and fold phone launch, they actually had a live stream on the amazon.com.au store page. So they can tell that story, they can have that big hero moment, and then that checkout is right there, right next to the video. So really great learnings. I think what we saw for Samsung, they had a 10-point lift in purchase intent from our traditional measurement solutions. We had tens of thousands of interactions with that carousel, and obviously we had the hard conversion data from the Amazon storefront. So a really great, I think, example of the journey that a brand has taken and the learnings they have from 2021 and activating it more recently too.
That's great. Thanks, Jan. It's clear, you know, for us at Amazon, you know, things like PogPix, but then more broadly, Twitch, IMDb, Live Sports, Prime Video, content is a big area of focus and emphasis for us. But all of that is tied back to these sort of billions of first-party shopping signals that, you know, can help agencies and brands understand how are they driving sales back on Amazon, on their own sites, but more importantly, what is the customer journey look like? What's the path to purchase? You know, what drives long-term loyalty? What's in a customer's basket? When they switch, what are they switching to and why? These are the kinds of things that are really important. And so I'd love to understand, Jan, just as a quick follow-up, how do you think about the insight and measurement that that you tie back to beyond just sales and driving sales volume? How do the insights actually steer kind of the overall media mix for a brand?
Yeah, I think as an industry, we're getting to that closer point where we can understand the value of each different site and app and service within that mix. Obviously not at the point we want to get 100%, but there is improvement being made. I think one of the things I'd call out is there might be a missed opportunity potentially in someone like myself, measurement personnel, kicking up my feet. Cool, Amazon will deal with it, attribution solved. There's still a lot of value, I think, in each individual site and app that can be derived and actually can drive long-term success for a brand. So we've been developing, we've trained a language model essentially on Twitch, which starts to capture the quality of conversation that happens around a stream. One of the big, I think, unique selling propositions of Twitch is not just the content creators and the video format, but also the conversation, the community that happens around that content, because it happens live. That water cooler conversation happens as the content is happening. So we've worked really hard to provide some of that great quality sentiment back to our partners in order for them to understand and start to incorporate in their campaign success metrics. What is this doing for the long-term health of the brand? What kind of conversation, what kind of relationship are you starting to form with the new generation of consumers while also satisfying the short-term objectives and being able to truly show that your actual campaign had an impact on the bottom line? So a lot of progress, I think, that has been made, but I don't think this is going to mean that individual sites need to stop what they're doing from a measurement perspective. There's still a lot of learnings and insights to be derived, I think, at the individual page and site level.
Stevie, do you want to build on that? I'm curious to get your perspective from the brands that you work with. You know, where are you from a retail media standpoint today?
Yeah, look, I just from Jan's point of view, I think best use of platform and best use of your assets is absolutely crucial, and you know, platforms and vendors should absolutely help us understand how to best use your platform. But for me, I think the opportunity and the exciting thing, and where some of our clients are doing an incredible job, is having that long-term view of measurement holistically. Yeah, and it requires an investment, right? It requires an investment over time. It requires a physical dollar monetary investment. It requires an investment in resource at your agencies and internally. And it also requires an investment, which is kind of my one big provocation to marketers, would be it requires an investment in breaking down some of your internal functional barriers. If your brand team sits over here and your retail team and your e-com team sit over here and they're existing in different universes, it's very hard for your partners to bring all of that together in a way that genuinely drives an outcome. But you know, we've got some clients who are nascent and moving into the territory really fast, as they see those charts and they recognize they need to get there. But we've also got some clients who are incredibly sophisticated in this space, and the measurement and the full funnel modeling they're doing, it is unbelievable. They really understand media's contribution to sales and media's contribution to brand uplift and kind of where that's going. So I'm whatever tech our clients use, we're happy to build on, and because ultimately, this has to be a function of your business operations, right? We need to use the tech that enables business functionality to improve. But I think, the learnings that we've had in, per Danny's point, is understand kind of the consumer journey, understand the bundling opportunities, the moments you want to win in, but really also understand the category you want to win in. I mean, there are some categories that are super broad, carbonated beverage is one, right? Like that incorporates a lot of products in there. And I think those nimble, small, growth SMEs, they're really focused on what they're trying to hit, right? They're really focused on where they're trying to grow. And I think the opportunity for large, enterprise organizations is to be clear on where your growth audience comes from, to be clear on who your competitive set is, and be really focused on winning in those moments, the retail moments, the bundling moments, amplifying moments in culture, in a way that allows you to test and learn, because we're all learning in this space. Like, Australia is moving fast. And that's really exciting. That's an opportunity. But like, we're not going to have all the answers today, because your platforms are going to change tomorrow. Like, death, taxes, and platforms changing. Like, it's a thing. And we have to recognize that all we can do is optimize today, take those learnings, and recognize that tomorrow we want to learn something different. And that's super exciting for us. And some of the work we're doing with Coca-Cola and some of the other brands is really inspiring for our teams as well.
I really like how you frame that. You know, I think from my experience, one of the things we often see at Amazon is that large, successful, established brands, they often expect that their offline success will just automatically carry mm-hmm. itself online. They think that their brand equity will mean that they're number one in search results, that they're the number one bestseller in every category that they operate in. And unfortunately, it just doesn't work that way. And the reason it doesn't work that way is because, e-commerce really helps democratize retail. It levels the playing field between these large, well-established brands with big budgets and small, scrappy challenger brands. And it does that because, in an e-commerce environment, shelf space is effectively limitless. So the barrier to entry, unlike a physical store, is suddenly really, really low. And so to your point, what that means is that whether you're a big brand or a small brand, you need to build a specific tailored approach to how you're going to win online. Danny, I'd love to get your perspective, because Coca-Cola has actually done that quite well, and that's been an area of focus for you. Mm-hmm. Do you want to share a little bit about how you've approached that?
Yes, so in terms of the Coca-Cola e-commerce strategy, without giving away any of our trade secrets up here on the stage, essentially, the team that I'm part of is the offline to online team, and that was essentially built out of a provocation that we have a very successful offline business, and we've had that for over a century, and we now need to bring that into the online environment. So exactly what we've done in the offline with a strong picture of success in terms of execution, we've now lifted and shifted that into the online with a real focus on the digital picture of success. And so the team that I'm part of, essentially it is a commercial function. We are responsible for driving digital transactions, and therefore we look at metrics such as net sales revenue, transaction volumes, beverage attachment rate online. But then also in terms of our media metrics that we look at, again, the FIFA 23 campaign is a great example of where we deployed, to Stevie's point, a very full funnel of execution across the media landscape. So we looked at deploying a full homepage takeover, a bespoke landing page, branded shops, we had DSP display, we had sponsored brands, products and display. So in totality, it was a full funnel approach. And so with that, we also look at those media results. So some of the results that we've seen from the campaign were a new to brand purchase rate of 48%. We've seen a year-on-year growth rate in terms of our branded key search terms of 217%. And we also seen a ROAS of 1.93. So essentially, in terms of our e-commerce strategy, we look at our media metrics, such as the ones I've just called out there, along with our commercial KPIs. And that essentially is what we use to look at our sales impact and how it's driving the e-commerce agenda that we have at Coca-Cola.
Great. All right, I think we have time for one question. Just quickly, around the table here, I'd love to understand if you had one piece of advice for folks here in the audience about how to connect content to commerce, what would that be? Jan, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll echo the kind of pressures that are put on marketers today. Being able to find a partner that can actually fulfill some of those short-term endeavors that I think are becoming more and more of a focus over the last 12 months and will be, need to be complemented by that long-term brand health, right? So a partner that can do that across all of their properties is great, of great importance. And those that can give you feedback along every single step of that journey across multiple generations as well, not ignoring the new generation of consumers that you'll be serving for the next 137 years, is absolutely vital. So being able to find those partners today that are willing to be challenged and will actually adapt some of that feedback and put that into their product strategy is going to be those brands that succeed.
Stevie?
I guess from my perspective, it would be recognize that this is a massive transformation journey that all of our businesses are going on the way, and have a view of the long term, but have a view of the milestones and the check-in points so that we are holding ourselves and each other accountable to where we're going, what we've learned, and what that next milestone is. But I think from a measurement and a business perspective, really focus on where we're going over time.
Yeah, and I think for me, I'll bring it back to where we started, the three C's. So ensure that a media asset or an ad is clickable, it's connected, and it's convenient, and that should be enough to drive a consumer from exposure to experience to transaction.
Great. All right. Well, Danny, Stevie, Jan, thank you for joining us. Thanks for the insight. Folks in the room here, if you want to learn a little bit more about Amazon and Twitch, come out to our activation is just around the corner here. I'd love to play Street Fighter with some of you, actually, so that would be fun. And we also have a session later today on ad tech and another session tomorrow on Twitch. So please join us. And in the meantime, hope you have a great ad week. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's growing network of audio podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.